this time, Mr. Samuel Finneran will come and give a message in song. And after that, Pastor Gossman will come and bring the word this morning.
His holy name. Thank you, Samuel. What a great hymn to put us in mind of the wonder of this time that we have come to remember and praise. I've been assigned three verses for today. Luke 2, 36 to 38. Now, that's not a bad thing. I mean, I saw the list, first of all the ones that were going to be assigned. And then I was thinking, oh, I know which one I would want. And I looked, and actually, he gave me the one I would want. He gave me Anna. So that was good. Now, my granddaughter's husband this morning, and he calls me Grandpa. I've got more than just my grandchildren. I've got ones that they claim me as Grandpa. But he says, I read that this morning. I wonder, what are you going to say? Oh, but there's a lot that we can learn from these few verses from Anna. Just to read those verses, beginning in 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she coming in at that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. You know, I've thought and wondered, how can we compare these days that we're living in to understand a little bit about what it was like in those days? You know, we have been waiting all of our lives for the return of Jesus Christ. Our recent ancestors have waited all their lives for the return of Christ. It's been now over 2,000 years since it was prophesied the coming of Christ. I mean, 2,000 years, you can go back to the prophecies in the Old Testament, but what if we should be privileged this morning to see Christ coming? If the trump should sound, the dead in Christ should rise. What if we should be that generation that would see Christ in His return? What if what others have only wondered about, we would experience? We go back to this time of Anna. You know, the shepherds who knew the Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah from centuries past, they were now blessed to witness Jesus, the Christ child, there in the manger. Very few were privileged to know of this event. 40 days would now have passed since the birth of Christ, 7 days until the circumcision, then 33 more days after the birth of a male child for Mary's purification. Now Jesus is brought into the temple to present him to the Lord. And that's where was read this morning, and I'm glad in our responsive reading we read of Simeon, because this passage follows immediately that of Simeon. This child, the Christ child, is revealed to Simeon the priest, who immediately gives praise to God. This child is the long-awaited Messiah that they have been wondering about from all those Old Testament prophecies. We read here of the next person to whom he was revealed, Anna. We will look at her life and her gifts that she brought to the Lord. Though we only have these three verses, there is much to see of Anna's gifts, presents Anna gave. This short account of Anna's life gives us a real-life demonstration of giving to the Lord. First of all, let's look in the first verse of Anna's person and see that Anna gave in her youth. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband of 7 years from her virginity. First of all, look at her name. Her name really means grace or gracious woman, Anna. It is the name of Hannah in the Old Testament scriptures. The Old Testament Hebrew word was meant gracious woman. In the Septuagint, which was the Greek rendering of the old of the Hebrew, it renders it Hannah instead of Anna. That's interesting. And she really fulfills the namesake of Hannah in the Old Testament. What about her character? You say, how do you get her character from that verse? Well, she lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. First of all, we learn about her is she was a pure young woman when she was married. She was a virgin. She had not gone and to live with another man. You know, I think how especially in our day today when all of the examples of people around us, not all, but a great the examples around us are those that are living together outside of marriage. But when we recognize that how God has called us to purity, to love God and young people, your future mate, keep yourself pure from all sexual sins. Anna was such a young woman. She kept herself to her God and to her future husband. And I would ask young people, what will you do with your life? Will you remain pure? Will you follow the world and its immorality? Or follow the Lord in purity? In 1 Timothy, Paul said to Timothy, neither be partakers of other man's sins, but keep yourself pure. What a challenge that is for young people as well as old today to not be a partaker of other man's sins, but to keep ourselves pure. What about her family? Her father, another name, a Phanuel, that's the word for penial. Face to face with God, to be facing God. His name, the tribe of Asher. And there in that, we see that she'd had a husband for 7 years. And as we understand that oftentimes the Jewish girls were married fairly young, so she wasn't. Her husband evidently died after 7 years of marriage. We see her age, that she was at least 84 years old. I say at least because it depends on whether, interpreting the passage, whether she lived those years after her husband died, or if that's her total age. It's probably her total age, but Anna gave in her youth. and still remembered today, or and she was remembered in her old age as such. What about, look at Anna and her loss. Anna, her loss. She lost her husband as a young woman. But we see in this that Anna gave in her loss. It says she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God. You know, her husband dies in those early years of her marriage. How do you think she would have responded? Some, in great loss such as this, they respond with bitterness. What do you do when your life doesn't turn out the way you planned and the way you dreamed? It was for most young women, dreaming of that marriage was a dream of their life. But she lost her husband after 7 years. What do you do when life doesn't seem fair? Some blame God. They get into bitterness. What do you think when God allows trouble or sickness or the death of a loved one or a mate? Do you blame God? You know, I have an example of that, of a young woman that I knew as a teenager. She was probably, I don't know. I mean, it seems like when you're a teenager, if they're just a couple years older, they're much older. But she might have been, I don't know, 5, 10 years older than I. She was a talented young woman. As I recall, she was a good piano player. She claimed to love the Lord and wanted to serve the Lord, but her dream was marriage. Her dream was marriage. And in fact, she even went out and bought a wedding dress before she had a guy. But that guy never came. Sometimes she even kind of threw herself at guys because she wanted a marriage, but it didn't happen. That woman lived her life in bitterness. It was a number of years ago I heard that she had passed away. But bitterness against God, bitterness against that she didn't get her life's dream. And she allowed that to ruin her life, that she lived her life in bitterness. But Anna must have looked for purpose and opportunity in her loss. Submitting to the will of God, she must have not questioned God's love for her. At least if those thoughts had come, she looked on and she looked for purpose and opportunity. She must have trusted and realized that, you know, we have the verse in our scripture that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and were called according to His purpose. She didn't have that scripture verse, but, you know, as one who trusted in God, that was something that all that love God should understand, the love of God, and that He allows things that for good in our lives. She must have moved on seeking how she could best serve God with her life. You know, disappointments and loss will come into our lives in one way or another. They could come in different forms. And how will you respond when that loss comes? Will you become bitter, blame God, or Or will you realize that God plans it for good in your life? You know, Satan brings things into our life that he wants to destroy us with. But God wants to use those things for good in our lives. Will you look for how you can better serve God in your new circumstances? You see, Anna used her loss as an opportunity for greater service. Anna gave to God and to her people in the midst of her loss. Gifts that Anna gave. Anna's gift to God. She gave all to the Lord. It says there in the end of that 37th verse, she departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayer day and night. Anna chose a full, dedicated service to God. To her, her meant widowhood the rest of her life. It meant a complete dedication to God alone. You know, the Bible is clear that marriage is honorable. The Bible is clear that it's a good thing when a man finds a wife. And we joy in that. But you know, in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul does speak about how there are times when singleness is better. He tells us there in 1 Corinthians 7, if you would read through that passage, 25 to 40, he talks about how there's times that singleness is better. There are times that, and he mentions that singleness isn't for everyone. And so we're not saying today that it's for everyone, but he says there in those verses, 32 to 34, how singleness gives a greater opportunity for serving the Lord. And in the 40th verse, he mentions that the single in this situation are happier. You know, I mentioned this young woman. I often wonder what the Lord had for that woman. If instead of bitterness, instead of blaming God, if she had used that as an opportunity for greater service that God would have given to her, she wouldn't have ended as a bitter woman blaming God all of her life. But yes, Anna gave to God and to her people in her loss. She chose life in the Lord's house. What a blessing that must have been to the priests there, to have one that just came and dedicated herself there to serve in any way she could there within the temple. You know, as believers, all of us have been given gifts. Gifts when we trust Christ as our Savior, when we're born again by the Spirit of God. He not only cleanses us. You know, I have to say something about the snow, right? Those of you who know me. You know, David said in Psalm 51, when he was dealing with the sin in his life that he hadn't cared for and he needed forgiveness, he saw the blackness in his heart and he said, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." What a blessing it is when we come to Christ and we're cleansed and there is that purifying that he does. Well, you know, God gives us gifts to be used. To be used as the body of Christ. Are you using the gifts that God has given you to serve in any way you can within the local assembly? You know, some churches operate with the philosophy Well, we've got a pastor for that. We just leave everything to him. That's not the way the body of Christ is to work. And think of what a blessing that must have been to have this woman that was there. Whatever could be done, they're serving in the temple. And it says with fastings and prayer, evidence thereof, a self-sacrifice to the Lord to give an enhanced diligence to her time in prayer, giving to prayer, giving thanks to the Lord and praise and intercession for those needs that are there. We know that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. She was giving there. She was giving all to the Lord. And obviously she was a woman that was giving, that had been given to the Scripture. She knew the Scripture. There in that 38th verse, there's that word likewise. That word likewise there. Likewise as what Simeon had said. See, there's a longer passage there about Simeon. There's that longer passage where you see what was Simeon's response there when he took up the child in his arms. And in the 30th verse, he said, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which he'd spoken. And Simon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts should be revealed." And then there was Anna, a prophetess, that she entered in at that time. God had her there to hear what Simeon had to say. And she recognizing that this was the one that they had looked for. She looked for the redemption of Israel there in verse 38. She knew and believed the Scriptures. Do you know the Scriptures? Do you know what's prophesied to come? You know, we're told we're to be looking for the coming of Jesus. We're told that we're not to become lethargic, but to continually be looking for the coming of Christ. She knew those Scriptures. And as she came into that room, and there she saw the Christ child, and God revealed to her, as to Simeon, "This is the promised Messiah." Anna gave all to God. Verse 38, I want us to see Anna's gift from God. Anna's gift from God. You know, God rewards with giving. It says, "And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel." Verse 36 tells us, and that one word I didn't bring out there, is that she's called a prophetess. You know, it's been 400 years since there's been a prophet in Israel. You've got those 400 silent years when there was, you know, there was at the end there of the book of Malachi, God didn't send a prophet again. They had that scriptures. They were to live with the hope and the confidence of what those scriptures gave and those revelations. This seems interesting to me that here this woman is called a prophetess. She was given the gift of understanding and looking for and proclaiming the Messiah. And that's what we see, that she spoke to those looking for the redemption in Israel. She was a woman of faith and complete dedication, and given there by the Lord to be called a prophetess. I think she understood those scriptures there from Isaiah 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders." That was written way back in Isaiah. But she recognized this is the fulfillment of that prophecy. She is able to give thanks at the sight of that little baby, 40 days old. 40 days old. She was able to give thanks because it was revealed, this is the Christ. She was a happy woman. She was not in depression. And she was one of the select few to witness that fulfillment. You know, there are very few that really witness. You know, we learn of the shepherds, and we learn of the, you know, here we have the angels that gave announcement there to the shepherds. You learn of the of this event, then we learn of the wise men that came, but only a very select few had the opportunity to recognize this was the Messiah that was to come. He wasn't really made known until when he began his ministry as a 30-year-old man. But the Lord brought Anna in at that instant, at that moment, to witness this child of redemption. You know, Anna was given gifts from God. There was a verse that was given to us in Sunday school class this morning that indicated you can't outgive God. Pastor Howard was dealing there in Sunday school class about the biblical giving but you know something, I remember my mother saying as a child, you can't outgive God. You think Anna ever thought, boy, I shouldn't have done this? You know, I think in my own life, I've never come to the place and saying, well, boy, I shouldn't have given my life wholly to the Lord. No, I've come to say many times, boy, I wish I could have given more. I wish I could have given more. But not because of the Lord. You just can't outgive the Lord. Anna's gift to Israel. What was Anna's gift to Israel? She gave to her people. It says there that then she, verse 39, the end of the verse, and she spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. Now, she's called a prophetess. She goes forth and she's declaring to all those who were looking for redemption in Israel. You know, if it's not going to be quite like that when Jesus returns, because when he returns, it says that we're going to be caught up to go with him. We're not going to have any more opportunity to go out and declare to others, because they're going to go with us, the ones that are looking for the redemption of Israel. Not the redemption of Israel, but the redemption of our own souls. But she's proclaiming Christ to those that were looking for his coming. She has the biggest news of the century. Of the centuries. She has the biggest news that she's able to declare. Jesus, the Messiah, unto us a son is given. I saw him. The gifts that Anna gave. You know, as I bring this and coming to sum it up, I heard a story of a little boy. As the offering plate was passed, they didn't have the box in the back. They had the offering plate was passed, and whether this, you know, it's a story I heard as a child, and it's a story that's always had an impression on me. The truthfulness of whether it actually happened, I cannot tell, but it sure illustrates a point. When the offering plate was passed, in his love for the Lord, he wanted so much to be able to give, but he had nothing to give. And as they were passing the plate, he said, "Please, put the plate down on the floor." "What?" "Put the plate down on the floor." And then he stepped into the plate and said, "I can give myself. I can give myself." How that illustrates, I believe, what we see, what Anna gave. She gave her all. She gave in her youth. She kept herself pure for God and for a future mate. Oh, how many young people lose the blessings of God, and how they disqualify themselves for the service of God that they could have. You know, we look around our church, we look around and say, "Who's going to take the place? Who's going to take the place in days to come?" I think of the passage in Proverbs that says, "The ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings." In Ezekiel it says, "I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap for me in the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." Well, when the Lord looked over here, say, who is there? Who is there in days to come that will stand in the gap? Are there those that are willing to give all? Or, well, we'll give a little bit to the Lord, but I got to have my life. Anna, yes, she gave in her youth. She gave in her loss. With the tragedies of life, she didn't become bitter. She didn't blame God. She thought, "How can I serve? How can I best serve God with my life?" She gave her all for the rest of her life. She didn't step back out of the plate. You know, I mean, the rest of her life, she served the Lord. And you know, God rewards the giver with giving. She was able to experience the Christ child there in the flesh. She was given that of being a prophetess. Her memory was kept alive for millennia. You know, some people will remember me for a little bit. Maybe a year or two, you know, or maybe even longer than that. but my memory will probably go on. We're still talking about Anna today. Her memory has been kept. And Anna was a carrier of good tidings to her people. She gave to her people. You know, we have a much more complete message today. Yes, he was born according to the Scriptures, but now, as Paul declares in 1 Corinthians, how Christ, he died according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We have the final results of this Christ child that was born. We have a message that is so much more complete than just the Messiah for Israel. We have a message that is for all men. Christ is born. Christ lived a perfect life I couldn't. He died for me on the cross and shed His blood, that His blood would cleanse me from my sin. And yes, I can be whiter than the snow. That darkness of my soul can be cleansed. What a blessing. What a blessing that is. We can take this message and go. Now we have that message. I think of another one of the hymns. It's not in our hymn book. Is go tell it on the mountains, over the hill, and everywhere. Go tell it in the mountains. Go tell it that Jesus Christ is born. May that be our declaration and our praise. May we take the example of the gift that Anna gave to be a good example to us and a challenge to us. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the life of this godly woman that gave her all to Thee. Lord, help us not to hold back in our lives, but Lord, to give our all to Thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Gossman. Let's sing for our final song off of the handout again. Who is he in yonder stall? Anna recognized who the Lord is. And let's sing this in praise to the Lord as we close. Number 212 on the handout. Who is he in yonder stall? Let's all stand as we sing. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.